Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, NBA Australia, how are you going? I hope you're all right because it is Monday. That's right, all day, May 20. And I'm your host, James Clements. You can see my ugly mug on Fox Sports Lab NBA. You can see me on the official AFL Supercoach podcast, the AFL Today Show, all the good stuff here in Larry Armour Studios. And I'll tell you what. That's right, we've got the Western Conference and Eastern Conference finals set. And this is also episode 1100 of NBA Australia. What an awesome day for it. You love to see it. Our conference finals are set. Two massive underdog Game 7 wins today. Dallas sent Josh Giddey off to prep for Paris, which is pretty cool. Fun, I guess. Patty Mills is all over your Instagrams. I'll tell you about that. But anyway, we'll quickly just go through the three games from the weekend today. And break it all down. Because we've got some awesome matchups. The reigning champs have been sent home. It's all going on. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball, dickhead of the weekend. We've got some Yanazi on Pop Their Opinion of the Day in our back takeouts where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There is a Shane Hill shoot your shot, line them up award. And we'll pick and preview the series at the end of the show because there's no game until Wednesday. There'll be no show tomorrow because I've got a work thing all day. So, we might pick Wednesday's game one and the series at the same time. So, should we just get into it? I reckon we ought to. Let's get stuck in. Episode 1100 of NBA Australia. Let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the shark attack.
You better. Or the cat attack, if you joker. The Naz Reid attack, if you joker. The can't hit a three attack, if you joker. Jeez, that was a tough one for the joker down the stretch or two today. Anyway, we'll get into this one. Should watch out for the broken hand attack of Jalen Brunson. But let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. It's with some sort of...
Oh, it's a whippery out of the gym.
Yes. Let's do it. Jalen Brunson broke his hand. So you might be thinking, geez, it's probably just as well that the Knicks didn't win that game, Jim. You might be right. I'll tell you what. Just absolute mash unit by the end of that game with the Knicks. And basically, I'll tell you what, like, there is nothing kind of sweeter in my brain than the sound of a shushed MSG. What a world. The Extreme Zinger Meal.
Extreme Zinger Meal.
He's going to miss at least the first two games of the Eastern Conference Finals as well with his injury. But basically, look, before we do the game wraps from the weekend, the Conference Finals are set. Indy, Boston. That's a fun one. Probably the best matchup we could hope for there because the Knicks, with Brunson breaking his hand, Josh Hart has like a strained ab. It was basically, don't they, the Vincenzo. Isaiah Hartenstein, hello. Alec Burks, Deuce McBride, and that's it. Well, that's all they had left. They had no one else. Like, OG tried to come back today and was just like, oh, yeah, nah. I've still got pinged hammy. God damn. Tibbs, you are a nutter. But let's just go through it, shall we? Because it's pretty straightforward. We'll just sort of go through the games from the weekend. Dallas beat OKC, and then you sort of roll into the game, and it's like, oh, that was an insane game. What's going to happen in the Game 7s? And it turns out the Indy-Knicks one was a massive blowout, and Minnesota came flying from the rafters from 20 points down in Denver on the road to win. So pretty unexpected, pretty cool. So should we just do it?
Let's do it.
Game wraps. All right. Dallas, Oklahoma City. Oh, poor one for Josh Giddey in the Oklahoma City Thunder. This was a chaos game. It was really fun as well because it looked like OKC had this salted away after an absolutely wild and gnarly fourth quarter run, basically, that had them just going, we're in control, Jim. And I'm like, geez. But then Dallas just managed to pull it out. after they were up. Like, they were down. Like, OKC were up, like, 15 in the third quarter. You're like, oh, this is probably not great. To the point where I think they're up 17. And it was absolutely gnarly. To the point where Kyrie Irving, now the stats floating out there that he's 14-0 in closeout games, which is just stupid. I kind of love it, though. So 17 points down in the third quarter. I think OKC had a 93.6% win chance. You're like, geez, that's pretty high. And then they decided to, like, not score for a big chunk of that time as well. So we get into the fourth quarter. Dallas tied up. Basically, what, like, sort of early in the fourth. And then Oklahoma City eke it back out, get back up five. And then you're thinking they're just going to just keep them at arm's length. No. They suddenly start not hitting shots. And PJ Hamilton Washington wakes up out of nowhere, starts knocking in shots. And then, of course, it's like the world's biggest three-point fouled attempt, I guess, in the world, with SGA just like clamping on his arm. Good to see the Thunder fans out in force go, oh, it's not a foul. He hit the ball first. He still wasn't shooting. It's like, all right. Then he's shooting it and he's still fouling him. SGA came out and was like, yeah, I fouled him. That was dumb. PJ Hamilton misses, like, hits the two free throws to start off his three attempts. Puts them up two. Misses the last one. Absolutely incredible game where you have a rebounding advantage once more for the Mavericks, where you're like, oh, yeah, geez, that thing that we sort of talked about all year about the Thunder and the rebounding, did it come back to haunt them, Jim? Yes, of course it did. They had 31 rebounds in this game. Chet Holmgren, he's 7'40", played 35 minutes and had three rebounds. Three! Josh Giddey had four, and he played 11 minutes. What are we doing? 31 total rebounds to 47 in this game. Ends up as like a huge difference because they had, I think, 14 offensive boards did the Thunders. And that made a big, did the Mavs. And that made a big difference in just like rebooting that offense time and time and time again. But this was a great game. The Thunder sort of had control of it for the most part, right? There was like 64-48 or whatever at the halftime. You're like, mate, they're cooked. They're just up. And then they basically completely flipped the script. It was like 69, nice, to 52 down the stretch. And they outscored them just expertly in those last few minutes. The way that Dallas are just like, well, we've got Kyrie. This is good. And you're like, can somebody else make a shot? And PJ Hamilton Washington, who's hit nothing all game, is like, oh, yeah, I'll hit a couple. It was awesome. Like, as a Mavs fan, you're like, oh, man, there are so many holes in this team, but at the same time, when Derek Jones Jr. plays a game like he did, he was absolutely everywhere. Luka is just very, very steady, and Kyrie pops up with some big buckets when you need them. Sometimes that's all you need. Also, all the rebounds. Derek Lively, what a weapon. He had 12 and 15. He was a plus 26. Gafford, amazingly, was a minus 25. It's like they're roughly the same player. Anyway, for the Thunder, SGA. The big question for me with SGA now is like, he had 36 points, Jim. It was incredible. He shot 14 of 25, 4 of 5 from downtown. The dude's not a three-point shooter. And he goes and does that. Awesome. The one thing, he had 0 turnovers, 8 assists. An absolutely immense game from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. At the same time, this is the one sort of game you're like, look, 36 is great. But, just, can we give SGA a little bit of Devin Booker? Just yes, give us a little bit of Devin Booker, could you, SGA? Just go a little bit hammer and tongs and gun for 50. Just, it's weird that he seems sort of capped out of that sort of, you know, 31 to 36. Anyway, J-Dub at 22, 9 and 8. He played a lot better in this game than you'd sort of had seen prior. The big problem for them was that their bench forgot how to shoot, and that was not great timing from the Thunder bench. It's like, okay, Gordon Hayward has a bitch and a moan after the game about his role. It's like, I don't know, your role is to hit some goddamn shots, Gordon. Daddy's always happy. Isaiah Joe at 11, he hit 3 of 4 from downtown. Dort went 2 of 7 from 3 for his 11 points. And Chet ends up with 21 points. 9 of 15, but he shot 1 of 7 from deep. And as I said, right, 3 rebounds. Use your spindly giant arms, Chet. What are you doing, mate? You're taking the piss at this point. But the lack of rebounding absolutely kills them. They go, what, 15 to 41 from downtown. The Mavs shoot 16 to 34. Again, I'm no math magician, but that's pretty bloody good. Yeah, the 9-5 for PJ, 2 threes late. Derek Jones Jr. was incredible. 22 points, 4 of 6 from three. Love that aspect. 22 for Kyrie with 3 assists, 4 turnovers, 4 of 10 from deep, 9 of 23 from the floor, but just hit buckets when they mattered. The cool thing was Luka, 29, 10, and 10. Pretty handy dribble double, just saying. He did have 7 turnovers, but shot 4 of 6 from 3, 9 of 15 at the line, and hit all of his free throws. In a game where you win by 1 point, and the rest of your team is kind of missing free throws here, like they went 17 of 24, Luka actually hitting all of them, big difference, I'll tell you. So pretty bloody good. Josh Greeny-Green had 6 points. Jaden Hardy had 5 points as well. Derek Lively, 12 and 15 off the bench. Tim Hardaway, the lesser. Pretty funny that he's like, oh, geez, I don't know if I'm any good anymore. And everyone's like, yeah, we should probably just not play you, eh? 0 of 1 from deep, 2 points, 1 rebound. But the way that Dallas won this, it was a combination of their heady veterans just going, oh, yeah, we'll hit our shots when they matter. That's good. And the Thunder just going, oh, shit, the defense just lacking enough, the rebounding not being quite there. It was a weird situation for the Thunder this year. Like, we've got the entire offseason to break it down, but while it's fresh, it still feels like, as far as they've gone, the second round of the playoffs, they might have missed a chance here. You know? Kick the tires on a goddamn big man who can actually get some rebounds. I think it was a Jez Oz who sent him the yeah now the other day. Where's your old Oklahoma City Thunders when you need them? I.e., where's Steven Adams? Kick the tires on him for next year, maybe. He was out this year with his injury. Just saying. But it did feel like in a really, really big moment, just to get some boards, just to keep these plays alive, just to do a little bit of anything. At least just keep Dallas off the boards, right? It would have made a big, big difference. But Dallas win the series 4-2. They're in their, what, second Western Conference Finals last 3 years. Absolute chaos. Because, I don't know, man, they've got a pretty good chance of making the finals. Game 7 of the, oh, geez, the New York Knickerbockers hosting the Indiana Pacers. This was kind of a half-decent game, and then it was just not. Like, they dragged it back down to 6 points. And MSG was up and about. It ends up 130-109, however, just as, like, everybody sort of gets hurt. Like, at the start of the third quarter, it's, like, 8 minutes left in the third quarter. They drag it to 6. MSG does this great. The Knicks do this great. It's like, right, now let's go to Celebrity Row. Here's Fat Joe. There's Ben Stiller calling timeouts for Rick Carlisle and everything. There's, like, John McEnroe and the dude from bloody Sopranos, which is weird. It's like, has he been in anything else other than The Sopranos? Why is he front row for the Knicks? This is weird. But they get it down to 6. It's like 73-67. The Knicks are just throwing absolutely everything at them. It's like Josh Hart is just like got no muscles left in his body. Don De DiVincenzo is going hammer and tongs. Hart is just trying his absolute hardest. And they just sort of eke it out again. They get up 10 really, really quickly. Don DiVincenzo hits another 3. And then you sort of turn around and it's a 14-point game because Naismith and Halliburton and Turner just hit this run of shots where you're like, oh, bang, that's a backbreaker, backbreaker. Oh, God. And then it just keeps building. It's like a 15-point game. Then it's an 18-point game after Tyrese Halliburton hits a 3 with about 3 minutes to go. And it's like, Ash is probably too much for them to overcome. Brunson's out. And it is packer up boys time for the Knickerbockers. They shot, well, I think the biggest part was what? Indy shot 70% from the floor for most of this game. Basically out there setting like a, it still ends up at 67.1% from the floor, which is a playoff shooting record, which is just silly. But this is like why you trade for Pascal Siakam. You know, mid-season, you're like, well, fuck, we think Tyrese Halliburton's pretty bloody good. We've got some pretty handy role players. We've got Naismith. We've got Nemhar. We've got TJ McConnell, a.k.a. the Knicks killer. Miles Turner, if we can negate how much he's going to be a pain in the balls, like, geez, we could really make something of this here. It's exactly what happened. Halliburton had 26 in this game. They were absolutely chaos, and they just ran right over the top of the Knicks in this game, right? Like, they averaged, what, 123.3 points in the regular season, and That was they hit 29 of 38 shots in this one. So they score 130 points against one of the best defenses in the NBA, where all playoffs, all the Knicks have done is just go, you want to see these clamps? Give them the clamps and then just ruin your shit. And the Pacers went, wow, we've got a couple of these games every so often where we just blow the doors off you. And this is one of them. Good timing, though. Game 7 of the semis. Jesus. But the Knicks, I mean, they get OG out there. He's like, yeah, I'm not right. He plays 5 minutes. He's packed her up. He hit a shot, and you're like, oh, he might be right. No, he fuck her up, boys. Dante DiVincenzo just empties the clip. He has 39 points. He hit 9 threes, 9 of 15. The biggest problem was Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, 0 of 7 between them from downtown. And, yeah, not great. Deuce McBride went 0 of 6 as well from 3. So they end up 13 of 35 from downtown, do the knickerbockers, and it just wasn't quite good enough, right? Isaiah Hartenstein battled, but he had 0 points. Like, that's a big, big, big aspect here. Jim, it's just like, it's a bit tough, man. He's not a scorer. Yeah, but you need junk buckets. You need Isaiah Hartenstein junk buckets, right? If Jalen Brunson's going to go 6 of 17 for his 17 points, 9 assists, like, battled manfully in his 29 minutes before he gets hurt. Josh Hart, clearly limited, 10, 8, and 5. Fouls out at the end, gets a standing ovation because all he has done is just fucking leave absolutely every skerrick of energy he had on the floor. He gets hurt game 6 and they just weren't the same. And it's literally just rolling out there going, oh shit, this is a lot of precious. He had 4-1. 26 for Alec Burks. I'm going to talk about this later. I might as well talk about it now though. He can play! So why wasn't he playing? This is just, he had 26 points. He goes only 2 of 5 from downtown. He gets to the line. 8 of 8 from the free throw line. 8 of 13 from the floor. Alec Burks isn't shit, right? So it was weird that Tibbs is like, no, he's shit. I'm not going to play him because I only want to play these guys. Shake Milton, same sort of vibes, right? It's like, there's a reason some of these dudes are in the NBA. It's like, oh, they don't defend hard enough for me. And you're like, all right. Great. So Burks doesn't play until game 3. Do you reckon, I don't know, could have mitigated some of all those fucking minutes loads on the likes of Hart, Don, Daddy, Vincenzo, even maybe Brunson a little bit? Just saying. He literally didn't play in the playoffs until game fucking 3. I think he had 1 minute in game 2. Taking the piss. Anyway, tough one for the Knicks, obviously. Deuce McBride, 4 of 14 shooting. I was tempted to throw him on Spud of the Night, but that's also just pretty harsh, isn't it? So for the Pacers, though, 67% shooting. How did that happen? I don't know. Nembhard just didn't miss. 8 of 10. 8 of 8 for Naismith. He had 19 points. 20 points for Nembhard. Look, if you're going to get 39 points from the Nens, that's right, the Naismith and the Nembhards, yeah, you're going to win the game. You're going to win game 7. It was sick. 24 and 4 for Pascal Siakam. 2 of 3 from deep as well. And Halliburton, 26, 4 and 6. 6 of 12 from 3. 12 points, 7 assists for TJ McConnell. He shot 6 of 8. Ben Shepherd goes 2 of 3, but he didn't hit a 3, which is pretty crazy for Shepherd. Ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. He was trying his hardest to stop himself today. Ends up with 3 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 fouls. He was a plus 11. He went 1 of 4 from the floor, and somehow they still hold on to win. Isaiah Jackson, he was pretty handy as well, 9 points from him. But they just dominated through the paint. In the paint, Miles Turner, 17 and 5 with 4 blocks, 2, 7-11, 2 or 3 from downtown. They did what they wanted. It's like they finally realized, hang on, the entirety of the Knicks team is blokes who are fucking 6'4" or shorter and Isaiah Hartenstein. Maybe, just maybe, we can take advantage of this. Like, they only went they shot 54% from 3. It was like 13 to 24. But with 79 shots, only 24 threes, that's a really good balance when you realize they're playing fucking small. Let's take it at them. Only 16 free throws as well. Indiana hit everything. They were awesome. What an unbelievable game. They win the series 4-3, which I might have actually nailed on the head when I was like, look, it's either the Knicks in 6 because they got to get it done quickly, or the Pacers are winning in 7. Boom. It was Pacers in 7. Happy days. Who do I actually have? I think I had the Pacers of the line today, so I'm happy days there. But look, Indy against the Celtics, it's probably the best possible outcome because at least Indy are vaguely healthy. Like, Knicks-Celtics would have been like the banner series, oh my God, and then the Celtics would have just shit-pumped them, without Jalen Bronson. So, look, I think we can thank our lucky stars at least a little bit here that we get a vaguely healthy Pacers team up against Boston, who could maybe give them a little bit more of a run for their money, whereas the Knickerbockers would have just gotten bloody steamrolled. So, tough one. All right, then finally, Minnesota, Denver. Pull one out for your reigning champion, Denver Nuggets, because they are done. This was a chaos game. 98-90, the Wolves win it. How'd they win it, Jim? I don't know. It might have been the 24 minutes where they outscored them by fucking 34 or whatever it was. It was absolutely chaos. Denver in the second half managed an entirety of 37 points. 37. Not great, Bob. Not great. 37. So, flip side, the Wolves had 60 in the second half. So, yeah, not great. Not great. Wolves are up. Well, they were down 20 early. Well, and you're just like, oh, my God, this is like the Nuggets. This is what they do. They're the reigning champs for a reason. They're hard to beat at home. It's a really hard place to come back in as well. So they were down 20 at the start of the third. 58-38. 58-38. So they then went 60. That's right, the 60 points, as I said, from the 58 to 38. 60 to 32. And, yeah, I don't know about you, but that's pretty bloody crazy, that one. So, unreal gear from Minnesota. Ant-Man got going. He, like, the reason they were down 20 was Anthony Edwards couldn't hit a shot early. And then they went, oh, we'll put the clamps on Jamal Murray, who's not missing anything. We'll make Jokic turn into a three-point shooter because they can't force anything inside because Michael Porter Jr. again can't hit a fucking shot to save his life. KCP's a three-point specialist. And Aaron Air Gordon, he's not getting those weird little back cuts now because we've actually got our heads on a swivel. And watch Minnesota just went ring, ding, 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 ring, ding, 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 fired up the fucking defense. It was like playing like five different octopuses. Octopi. It was chaos. There were arms everywhere. Jokic has got the ball at the top of the key. He's like, I don't, where the fuck can I pass this? Like, Jamal Murray be coming off like a back screen. He's like, there's still two arms before I try to do a handoff. Like, what the fuck is going on? Oh, I'll swing it to Michael Porter Jr. He'll freak out. Give it to Aaron Air Gordon. He'll freak out. Give it back to me. Now we've got 3 seconds left. I'll shoot this fucking three. It was nuts. The Wolves gave him the clamps, strangled the absolute bejesus out of them. And that's how you climb back into a game, right? Like, it was absolutely insane because that feeds into their offense. They go off, they're flying. Suddenly, they just get, you know, these couple of easy buckets out of nowhere and they're like, oh, shit, hang on. We're back on here. Ant-Man, he's just like, all right, sick little dunk. Check this out. He ends up shooting 6 of 24. You might, and correctly, go, geez, Jim, that should be spotted in our territories. Yeah, apart from the fact that he was like, pretty not that bad in the second half. It was like hitting all these shots. Ends up with 16, 8, and 7. Cat was the big story as well. He was sort of keeping them afloat. And Jaden McDaniels was like scoring a shit ton early on too. For the Nugs, like this is the biggest thing. Like my boss is like straight away, he's like, I fucking told you Michael Porter Jr. shit. It's like, well, he is and he isn't. Do you move him to get like two other pieces? Probably. It will probably help you in the long run. But this is what happens, right? You go, well, we win the title. We can't afford to keep Bruce Brown. We can't afford to keep Al Jefe Green. Well, go young. It's like, all right. You can't also like maybe kick the tires on like, oh, we need to like work with Christian Brown and Peyton Watson. And then Christian Brown plays 20 minutes today. Has 5 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Pretty bloody good. The rest of the bench did nothing in terms of Jazzy Holiday, who had almost the 9 trillion. He played 9 minutes and had a single steal and zero everything else. Reggie Jackson went 0-1 from the floor. So they got a 5-point total from the bench, whereas like at least like the Wolves got 11 points under Naz Reid, and he spurred them on in that fourth quarter to a horrifying degree. The biggest thing for me is that Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are the only two Nugs who got the double figures. 34, 19, and 7 for the Joker. 2 of 10 from downtown. And Reggie Miller, in all of his just absolute dunderheaded dipshittery, was like, Kev, I tell you, he's now, what, for the fucking playoffs, he's like, oh, he's 12 of 48. He's now 12 of 49. It's like, yes, we can all count Reggie. You don't need to count up. He ends up 2 of 10 from deep. I would argue that 10 threes is probably 8 too many attempts for Nikola Jokic. He's always at his best when he's taking like 2 or 3 threes and just like nailing one or two of them. And you're like, yeah, got to keep him honest. They will happily live with him just like fucking firing up that trebuchet and just going, fucking have a go. 13 of 28, he shoots overall. A pretty tough, inefficient night. Jamal Murray, 13 of 27, 4 of 12 from downtown, 35, 3 and 3 with 4 turnovers. Had a couple of moments late where you're like, oh, he's not afraid, but he's also clearly not 100%. Aaron Air Gordon, 4, 4 and 2. This is probably the most disappointing one. 2 and 5 for Aaron Air Gordon, doing a little bit of everything, whereas his counterpart, Jaden McDaniels, and like, I don't know, Cat are out there fucking shredding. Also getting beat for boards. He had 0 defensive rebounds in Aaron Air Gordon. 13 for Joker, 8 for Porter. He had, 7 and 9, 2 blocks, but shot 3 of 12. Didn't even have the grace and humility to shoot the magic number. 1 of 6 from deep for Michael Porter Jr. 5 points for the KCP, notorious KCP. 2 of 7 shooting for him, 1 of 4 from 3. He was handy, like he's just working his ass off on defense, making Ant-Man's fucking life hell. And for the most part, it worked. But wow. Like the rebounding, 44 to 47, they had 11 offensive rebounds each way, right? 10 turnovers to 7, 16 free throws to 30. And that might have been the big one, right? You got Rudy Gobert and you've got Cat combining for 17 free throws themselves, which is more than your entire team. And Gobert hit a fucking jump shot where you're like, oh, this game is over, because Rudy Gobert is pulling jump shots out of his ass, like a mid-range turnaround prayer, and you're like, yeah, pack her up. Denver are cooked, mate. And that's what happened. 23 and 12 for Karl Anthony Towns, 1 of 6 from 3, but that sick putback dunk that sealed it right at the end was absolutely off its fucking head. Just as you've got, the notorious KCP, like, ball watching on the perimeter as the shot's gone up. Cat just fucking flies through everybody. Putback dunk, game over. Absolutely amazing gear. Jaden McDaniels had 23 and 6, 13 and 9 with a couple of blocks. Rudy Gobert, this is what they were. He had 10, 8 and 4 for Mike Conley. He shot 3 of 10, but 3 of which were all from 3. So 3 of 5 from deep. And Ant-Man, 16, 8 and 7, as I said. He was a plus 11. He shot 6 of 24. Kobe! 2 of 10 from 3. Didn't matter because he is absolutely off his fucking head. He is electric and he was just like, hey boys, jump on my back. It's like, yeah, man, you're not scoring that much. He's like, get out of my ride. We're going to be fine. 11 points for Naz Reid off the bench as well. He was absolutely immense late. Nicky Alexander Walker couldn't hit the broadside of a barn today. 0 of 6, 0 of 5 from downtown. But this is like, the story of this Minnesota Timberwolves team is literally just like, well, we're going to take everything that Denver do. Remember how we won games 1 and 2? We'll just fucking really key in on defense and go, hey, Denver, all that cool shit that you want to do that doesn't have anything to do with Jokic and Jamal, we're going to stop it. You can try, but we're going to stop it. You can see it like when they'd be flaring out and like doing weird sort of little handoffs on the perimeter against like the likes of MPJ and Aaron Air Gordon, right? There was a body on them at all times. They're playing right up in Jokic's shit. Like, Nikola Jokic would just be picking fucking Rudy Gobert out of his teeth for fucking weeks, right? That's how much up in his shit he was. And it was special. You just don't see teams play defense like this. To hold the Nuggets again to 90 after, hold them to 70 in Game 6 and beat the absolute bejesus out of them at home. It's immense. The Nuggets scored 80, 70, and 90 in 3 different games in this series. That's how you beat the Nuggets. You play all-time defense, apparently. And it's a bit disappointing, look, I'll get to that as well, from the Nugs to go, we don't have an extra sort of ball-handling ball-handler slash creator on the perimeter. It's not quite an MPJ now. Aaron Air Gordon's quite, like, it's the Bruce Brown dude where it's like, we have to play Jokic, like, 47 fucking minutes to have even a shot at this game. And it didn't matter. So, yeah, Denver, tough one. 4-3 Minnesota. The craziest part is that means either Minnesota or Dallas will be in the NBA Finals. What an absolute chaotic world. You love to see it. All right, let's do an NBA Australia Proof Performance of the Weekend.
knife. That's a knife.
That is a knife. Look, Halliburton just daggering, absolutely daggering this Knicks team in MSG was absolutely incredible. I really enjoyed Ant-Man, like, despite shooting like shit, just him completely out-alphering the Nuggets, which is pretty funny. He and Jokic having words at the end. He's like fucking waving to the crowd mid-play. That was pretty awesome. Luka and Kyrie combining, though, to knock off OKC with a bit of PJ Hamilton Washington help right at the end was absolutely immense. The 29-10-10 for Luka. Kyrie's not wildly efficient shooting night, but still very, very, very handy contribution as well. Like, this is the thing. We talked about the glids on Friday's show, right? It's like sometimes just the talent will win out. And if you've got just that top echelon talent and you've got just enough of it, and then you get dudes like Derek Jones Jr. showing up, you've got Gafford and Lively combining for, what, 22 points and fucking 22 rebounds. Not bad production out of your center spot. It makes a difference if you've got Luka and Kyrie just going, yeah, we'll hit every shot. This will be pretty good. So they were fantastic. Love that. Ant-Man, incredible. Dante DiVincenzo in a losing effort. Absolutely. As I said, emptied the clip. Alec Burks is popping off. Cat trying to beat the allegations. Not bloody bad. Enjoyed that. But what about Spud of the Night, Jim?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Oh, we had a few Spuds, I tell you. It was a bit of a Spud weekend. Because, I mean, this is what happens, right? You've suddenly gotten to this point where you're like, oh, hang on a second, all these games are really bloody important. There's lots of stress. So for every Dante DiVincenzo who goes off and drops fucking 39 on your head on 11 of 21 shooting and 9 of 15 from downtown, the flip side is when you have, like, I don't know, the 2 of 8 shooting for Cason Wallace, you have the Dort 3 of 10, you have the Gids 1 of 3, and you're like, oh, bro, yeah, that's how OKC all sort of, if you can't just sort of paper over those little gaps here and there, you're going to get beat. And they did. Other rough ones, you had the 4 of 14 for Miles McBride. Oh, deuce! 0 of 6 from downtown. But at the same time, it's like, what else is he going to do? He has to fucking let him fly. Aaron Wiggins going 0 of 2 as well wasn't great. 6 of 17 for Brunson. He breaks his fucking hand. 9 of 23 for Kyrie, sure. But the Ant-Man, 6 of 24. Like, you're pretty tempted to throw him on there, but still. A lot of this is like the young dudes for OKC just learning how to lose, right? This is it. Every single fucking NBA team goes through it if they want to be really, really good. You can try to circumvent it, short circuit it if you need to. OKC did not do that this year. They're like, oh, geez, man. The process is the process. We're going to stick with it. We're not going to trade for like a big man to get some rebounds here and there. And it's like, yeah, it might come back to bite on the ass. And it did. Anyway, tough ones. Jay Lynn Williams is pretty funny as well. He had 2 of 5. But yeah. Anyway. And then as I mentioned, the Nickey Alexander Walker 0 of 6. Like, if you had lost that game, Minnesota, you'd be like, fucking, what are you doing? What are you doing, Nickey Alexander-Walker? 0 of 5 from deep. He had 0 points, 1 assist in 17 minutes. He's been fantastic these playoffs, though. So it's hard to ding him. Mike Conley, 3 of 10. But you know who the Spud's going to go to. It's Michael Porter Jr. That 3 of 12 in a huge spot. 7 points, 9 rebounds, 3 fouls, minus 9. But 3 of 12 shooting in a game like this, it's just... that's a Spud. All right. Not great, man. Not great. How about a bit of Old Mate No Mates?
Old Mate No
Mates.
Old Mate No
Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got No Mates today? Nikola Jokic is like, where the fuck did everybody go? As Jamal hit shots, but fucking everybody else fucking just bullshit the fucking. And Dante DiVincenzo is like, fuck, guys, is anyone going to help me out? 39 points. And they got fucking, got an ass kicking. Tough one for Dante. But Gordon Hayward's probably Old Mate No Mates because he's just like, I fucking hate it here. Daddy's always happy. Disappointed with how it all worked out. Certainly frustrating. As a player, I have a lot to offer. I just wasn't given much of an opportunity to do that. The bloke didn't hit a shot all playoffs. Like, what are we talking about here? this is weird. Stop being weird, you weirdo. He was like, oh, nah, man. It's like, I'm just don't get much of a chance. To be honest, they probably could have used him in that game six, Gordy, but they're also like, Kenrick Williams, here's 4 minutes. Aaron Wiggins, here you go, off you go. Josh Giddey, yeah. He did not hit a shot all playoffs, which is pretty remarkable. So 9 minutes against New Orleans in game one, 10 minutes in game two, 8 minutes in game three, 4 minutes in game four, then 7, 5, and 3 in games one, two, and three of this series against Dallas. Gordon, you had a little bit of opportunity there. Did you hit a shot? Nah, mate, I didn't hit a shot. He literally went 0-4-3 in all of those games. So he played 7 games, took 3 shots, 0 points scored. I believe he ended up with like 2-3 assists and like a handful of rebounds. Absolutely old mate, no mates. Of like, that was our big off-season, mid-season acquisition. I don't know, Sam Preston. You want to kick the tires on that. And a bit of pantsing of the night, sort of. I'm going to stick on that one. Fatty, fat, 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 fatty, fatty, fat, fat. Bit of a pantsing because I believe it was Sam Presti in all of his genius moves with his zombie Sonics that was the one sort of behind it all, essentially helping Dallas facilitate a lot of these moves, right, to get Lively in the draft at the middle of last year. At the draft last year. He also helped facilitate the Daniel Gafford trade. And then they get their asses kicked on the boards. I'm just saying. That's a pantsing. to make the second round, though, for the Thunder was huge. Absolutely crazy. But it is still pretty funny that it was like, aha, the Thunder, congratulations. You played yourself. You went and got Gordon Hayward as your big midseason acquisition. You helped Dallas. You facilitated helping Dallas get Lively and Dan Gafford. And it came back to bite you in the ass. Pretty funny gear. I don't know. Thing is, they could also just go out and try to fix that in the draft, right? Go get Klingon or someone like that in the draft. Trade up. They've got 1 million-ty fucking draft picks. Just go get a big body dude. Pretty funny. Pretty weird. But you better believe that's a pantsing. Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average.
That would be Dante. Coming for everybody. That would be Dante DiVincenzo. because he just was unreal. Dante, absolutely 41 minutes, 11 to 21, shooting 9 to 15 from downtown, 8 to 10 from the line, 39 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. The 17th pick in 2018? Yeah. He's definitely shown up as our man Dante, and I'll tell you what, the Bucks could have used the Dante DiVincenzo a little bit, just saying. But anyway, great job by Dante. Incredible game, and easily better than Lonzo Ball. Let's see if we've actually got a Magic tweet of the day as well. Because I very much enjoyed his Steph Curry mum reference, which was a bit out of the blue for Irvin, but also hilarious. So thank you, Irvin. Here we go. Let's do it. Y'all ready? Because it is time for the Magic Tweet of the Day. The Knicks' magical run came to an end today. No pun intended, because the Pacers shot 67% from the field. Thanks, Magic. what was the pun? I'm confused. Anyway, let's do another one. Congratulations to the Minnesota Timberwolves, their superstar Anthony Edwards, and my friend and Timberwolves co-owner Alex Rodriguez for advancing to the Western Conference Finals. Thanks, Magic. I said the superstars had to play like superstars today. Anthony Edwards stepped up big time and Tyrese Halliburton led 6 paces in double-figuring scoring. That's right. That's what he wrote. Was 26 points. The Pacers' high-powered offense was the key to their blowout victory over the Knicks. Love it. Defense, defense, and more defense won the game for the Timberwolves. Wow, what a game. 6 guys finished with double-figure scoring led by Karl-Anthony Towns. And Jaden McDaniels each finished with 23 points and Kat added 12 rebounds. And let me just say, we have a superstar in this league, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. After his performance last night and throughout the playoffs, we are going to enjoy watching him for many years to come. What do we say? Thanks, Magic.
Dickhead of the week.
And Jaden McDaniels trying to do the bounce alley-oop dunk at the end of their game is absolute dickhead, and I'm actually kind of disappointed in the Denver Nuggets for not knocking his fucking block off. I'm not, you know, usually out here stumping for punching on with people, but at the same time, you got to go, that is not fucking cool. What are you doing, dickhead? And just start something, because that's a pantsing. That's a pantsing. Anthony Edwards literally waving to the crowd as he's dribbling up. The game's not fucking done. You can still hit him. You can still hard foul. That was just an absolute pantsing of the highest degree by the Nuggets. Bit of a dickhead move by Jaden McDaniels, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, Denver, grow a pair. You won the title. Come on, we get it. Talk about fucking vibes of like, oh, we'll just coast through, it'll be all good, we'll turn it on when needed. Minnesota fucking slapped the shit out of them. Well, that's cool, old man. Blah, 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 blah. So it's a combination pantsing, and also Jaden McDaniels' move was a bit of a dickhead move, but goddamn. Nuggets, have a little bit of fucking pride. All right, let's do some ENRs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Let's do some ENRs. Brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. Get your merch.
Bebo.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, do it. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials and away you go. I'm actually wearing the hoodie right now because it is bloody freezing here in Melbourne today. What is going on? They are a very nice and warm hoodie, just saying. Go check them out. Click through on the socials. Pretty pictures there. Get a t-shirt. Get a stubby holder. Get a coffee mug. Off you go. Right, let's do some ENRs. Did Tibbs cost the Knicks that series? Yeah, nah. No, injuries cost them that series. Could Tibbs have navigated it better? Yeah, nah. Yeah. It was weird that he wasn't playing fucking Burks until game 2-3 or whatever. Like, that was incredible. Like, his entire approach to his bench, he loses, obviously, Julius Randle. He loses the other Mitch Robinson. He loses Bojan. Like, they just come, he loses OG. They're basically playing without four of their best eight players and shit like this, right? It sucks. At the same time, Alec Burks and Shake Milton are in the NBA for a fucking reason. And if you can't find them just a couple of minutes to give fucking Josh Hart, I don't know, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, just like a little bit of a fucking break, like, I don't know, man. Like, everyone else is injured and you're running the remaining players into the dirt. I feel like you can roll Alec Burks out there for a couple of minutes. Like, it was fucking weird. Like, I get it. Oh, Tibbs. Oh, jeez. Yeah, he plays his players hard. They're warriors. At the same time, he could probably take a slightly different approach, and the results might have swung their way a little bit more, maybe, question mark. So, Tibbs didn't cost him the series. Injuries did. But he could have navigated that better, I reckon. It was very, very strange. Did Kat just shrug off the allegations? Yeah, nah. No, because he still had an extremely dumb foul late in that game that could have cost them quite fucking dramatically and could have fouled him out as well, just after Rudy had fouled out. I think it was actually, no, it might have been Kat's fifth right at that point. He then beat the allegations maybe with that sick put back dunk and actually stepping up, but at the same time, it's not like he was doing all of his scoring in the clutch, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I think it's good for Kat and dudes like Kat who are just like, oh, fuck, and just like busy shitting down the leg of their pants to be in those situations. Like, it's reps. It's all reps. That's all it is. That's how you shake the allegations, Carl Anthony Towns. Hey, do the Pacers have a better shot at knocking off the Celtics than the Knicks would have? Yeah, nah, yes, of course. Because the Knicks did not have Jalen Brunson. They would have gotten absolutely fucking smoked by this Celtics team, who have just been hanging out for like the last week, just going, oh, fuck, man. Just, I don't know, stretching, just hanging out. Went for a swim. The Pacers, at least, you can sort of see like the outline of how they can beat a Celtics team, right? It's like if they have one or two games where they just blow the doors off on offense, that'll get them in the series, right? So I feel like they definitely have a better shot than the Knicks would have, because the Knicks had no players left. It literally would have been like fucking Shake Milton in place of Jalen Brunson, and that's not good. But yeah, go Pacers. That's hilarious. Jez Oz had a good one. Hey, big dog, how good is playoff basketball? Yeah, nah, yeah, it's the fucking best. I've got both the squids home today, and they were just like on just watching it all with me as well. Just go, Dad, this is chaos. I'm like, yeah, it is. The Wolves or Mavs are the perfect matchup for Boston should they survive choking against the Pacers. Yeah, nah, yes. I think the Wolves will give them all fucking sorts of trouble. And the Mavs, look, if there's like a fucking team that'll put the absolute blowtorch to your ass about clutch time scoring, it's the Mavs, right? You look at the rebounding that they had in that OKC game and then just being have that ability to go, hey, Luka, hey, Kyrie, can you get us a bucket? And those two dudes going, oh, yeah, sure. That's massive. Whereas the Celtics are fucking falling over themselves, playing a shit ton of ISO ball and completely falling apart at the end of games. The Mavs will definitely test that out because the Mavs just don't do anything easy. They will fucking completely come down to your level and mess it up with you. Whereas the Wolves, like if you fucking give them half an inch, they'll take a mile. We just saw that with Denver. Like the Wolves were not afraid of Denver. There is no way in hell they are afraid of the Boston fucking Celtics, right? Unless the Celtics possibly come out and absolutely smash the Pacers, like go 4-0 and don't worry, but like get Zinger back for game 3 and 4, get a bit of wind into his sails and away he goes. But yeah, I don't think either of those teams are going to be like afraid of Boston. So was that kind of just the Western Conference Finals? Yeah, nah. Well, was that actually the finals? Yeah, nah. Nah, because it wasn't the finals. It was the semis. But speaking on that for a little bit, what about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Not having repeat champs for 6 straight years actually fucking sucks. You know, I tipped Denver at the start of the season. They were awesome. But down the stretch, you're like, oh, their lack of depth is going to fucking kill them at some point, right? Jamal Murray, clearly not right. But that's navigable if you have like a Bruce Brown, who you can just go, hey, can just take a hint of the extra playmaking duties away from Jamal so he's not having to do everything that Jokic is not doing, right? And to not have that bit, it's pretty brutal. But my overall view of NBA gear in my big stupid brain is I basically count years for who won the NBA title. Jim, we get it. You really like basketball. But that's, you know, look, I think of the 90s and I'm like, I know what year was which purely because of who won the NBA title. Same with the thousands, same with the teens. And then the last 6 years, I'm like, right. So remember when the Bucks won? After the Lakers won, after the Raptors won, but that was before Denver won, and in between there, it was like a Warriors win, and God, it's a mess. Like, the cool thing about the teens was, we had the Warriors back there all the time, against the Cavs, against LeBron, and it made for an amazing fucking rivalry. Like, the only constant we've had over the last, like, half decade here is, like, the Celtics being in the Eastern Conference Finals and making the Finals once. So, prove us wrong, Boston. Prove us wrong. Yeah, no repeat champs. I think it's bad overall for basketball where people don't get to completely 100% like buy in on teams to get casual fans like invested in this like championship team, right? If like the Bucks are going back to back or the Nuggets or even like the Warriors did it in those mid-teens because Steph and Draymond and Clay and stuff, everyone got used to those guys. Everyone got used to those teams and they didn't hurt that Steph was a fucking super duper star of all time. But like, the Nugs, like they're really good chance of like breaking through that next level of top tier NBA echelon teams was winning back to back. Same with the Bucks, same with Giannis, right? Like Giannis would probably even be a way bigger fucking star and like his, you know, I don't know, his standing in the game and in the wider consciousness would be even greater if they hadn't been derailed by injuries over the last few years. So yeah, tough one for Denver, tough one in my brain too. But what about Outback Takehouse? If we're just going to expand on that a little bit. It's Outback. Steakhouse. That's right. It's Monday now, back. I'm trying to figure out what do I usually say. And that's right, on Mondays, we've got both the squids at home. So we're just spending the morning out in the bloody backyard. Managed to trap a wombat. Tell you what, bloody tasty over that spit. Bit gamey. But yeah, what you do is you cook it up real nice and you just chop it into squares just like their poos. It's bloody delicious. It's flame grilled wombat only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is, I don't fucking care about market size. Don't let any fucker talk, oh, you know, it's bad for the NBA that it's like, oh, you know, a couple of small market teams. No one fucking cares. What we care about is whether or not teams are fun and teams are cool. There's no dominant teams at the moment. Your mate Jim just mentioned that with the old no repeat champs. Minnesota winning the title would be great for basketball. Indy winning the title would be great for basketball. Dallas winning the title would be good for basketball. And surprise, surprise, Boston winning the title would be good for basketball. Don't let any fucking naysaying dipshit dorks go, oh, but think about the market size. Punch them in the face. Tell them Jim sent you, only at Outback. I fucking hate all that sort of, oh, geez, well, I think of the markets. No, I care about the fucking product on the court, not the size of the market they're going into. Fucking nerds everywhere. All right, brief break. Back with the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot and the Australian Player Watch right after this one from Hammer.
This is Shane Hill, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch. Obviously, we had the Aussies play in the one game. So we lose Gids. He's off to prep for Paris. He played 11 minutes in that one. 1 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 2 from downtown. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 points. People, oh, he needs to be traded. I think everyone needs to pump their fucking brakes. I think OKC just needed to figure out to utilize him a little bit better. And he needs to work on his fucking shooting. Yes, it would be really awesome if he was in Orlando. It would be really cool if he was in San Antonio. Just saying. At the same time, OKC is set up for long-term success, and if he can figure out how to not get played out of a series like he just did, then he'll be a substantially better player for it. And if that involves just working on his fucking shooting all off-season, so be it. Meanwhile, we still have Dante Sexum up Exum and Josh Greeny Green going through the Western Conference Finals. Love that. Dante did not play in Game 6. They gave Jaden Hardy the 11 minutes instead just for a little bit more of offensive burst. Josh Greeny Green, though, played 19 minutes. He went 2 of 4 from the floor, 1 of 3 from downtown, and 1 of 2 at the line. He had 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. The 3 that he hit was pretty big, too. They needed that bucket the exact time, and he hit it, so love that. All right, what about a Shane Hill Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up award?
He threw it down! Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Hill
Shooter Shoot,
Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up award. Oh, yeah, let's do it. It's Dante DiVincenzo because he had 39 points. I love that. He had 30 points in an elimination game. Klay Thompson had 0, remember that? that's the most ever threes in a Game 7. That is Shane Hill, Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light Them the Fuck Up award right there. That is incredible. 39 points, 9 threes, most ever in a Game 7. Gabsley gave it his all. It was absolutely incredible. What a legend. Thank you, Dante DiVincenzo, for being a weapon. Good one. All right, Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Let's do it. Oh, Patty. So Patty has gone absolutely hog. Olympic journey begins with a little piece of advice. If you are someone that loves getting amongst the Olympic spirit or someone who wants to train like an Olympic athlete, this one's for you. I'm preparing for what will be my 5th Olympic Games in Paris. And away you go. He's got his like training regimen and stuff up there. It's awesome. Week 1, lift, mobility, recovery. Boom, boom, boom. Treatment, court, lift, mobility, court, recovery, treatment. Paddy's going absolutely hammering tongs. And to be honest, the challenge should be I should do all this as well. Let's do it. NBA Australia, Paddy Mills Challenge. We're on. Paddy, I'm training for the Olympics. Give us the call up. I'm serious. We're going to do what he's doing. I'm going to make sure I've got a copy of all of the things. The thing is, he's posted this everywhere, so you can join in as well. You love to see it. I'm all on board. All right. But let's do it. A bit of game previews for Wednesday. Some series previews as well.
Game and series previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
Oh, yeah. The two squids on a Monday morning while you're trying to watch a bunch of hoops and take notes. Jeez, it is rough, especially because the baby squid is sick. And he keeps sort of getting hives and stuff, right? So he's allergic to something. We just can't quite figure out what the fuck it is. So, yeah, he's just in a sort of state most of the time at the moment. Anyway, Wednesday, we start off with game one of Indy at Boston, right? So this series is obviously you got a top two offense and defense in Boston. You've got an incredible offense in Indy. Their defense stepped up time and time again against the Knickerbockers. It still feels like Indy's offense will probably still get off the chain against Boston once or twice, right? So I'm going to give Boston 4-2, maybe 4-1. But I mean, we've seen the Celtics, the way they approach these playoffs, I'm going to say 4-1. Gentlemen sweeping the Eastern Conference Finals for Boston. Just because their defense is that good. And Indy, like the perimeter vibe, like if it just goes a bit haywire, it feels like they just don't have anything to fall back on to win, right? Whereas Boston, if the offense just goes a bit shitty and they're not hitting their threes, their backup option is usually defense. Oh, God, and then we'll hope that we can score enough to get over the hump. I think Boston is way more dangerous. Indy, it took them the 7 games to kick the fuck out of a continually depleted Knicks team. They're running into an absolute fucking, like, wood chipper in this Boston team right now. So I'm going to go Boston 4-1. And if we look at game one for Wednesday, so no, as I mentioned, right, no show tomorrow because I've got a work thing all day. So instead, the line at the moment is 9.5 for the Celtics in game one. And considering that they keep winning all of their games when they do win them, basically by double figures each time, I'm still going to go Boston -9.5. Indy will feel pretty good about themselves. There'll probably be a little bit of rust about the Boston Celtics, but at home, they're immense. They're massive, and I don't mind them there. So give me Boston -9.5. And so for the series, though, I'm going to go Boston 4-1. They might hilariously drop game two again in Boston and then win the next three again like they did in the first two rounds. But the way that they sort of match up, if you look at it and you go think about Jaylen Brown and you think about, obviously, the revenge series for Aaron Naismith, Nembhard, Halliburton, there's probably just a little bit too much size over the Boston wings and guards, right? So you can throw Derek White and Drew Holiday onto the likes of Halliburton, and then it's like, okay, Nembhard, beat us. Jaylen Brown's like, ha-ha, I've got, like, Naismith. Okay, that's going to be fun. Tatum versus Siakam, Turner versus Horford and co. Like, the matchups really just sort of favor Boston up and down that one, I reckon. Like, Halliburton really, really sort of found a bit of a groove in the back half of that series, but jeez, they had some worrying games, and I feel like Boston's the sort of team between Giroux and Derek White that can just take him out of a series as well, so that's probably not boding very fucking well for the Pacers, but I want to give him a puncher's chance to, like, at least take sort of at least two games, right, with a bunch of that scoring, but I think Boston will be a little bit too good, and when I say a little, I mean a lot. And then in the other one, Dallas, Minnesota, I just... God bless Dallas for making it this far. Good on them. But I feel like the Wolves, on a defensive level versus OKC, just the size, the length, it just feels like it'll be a little bit tougher. I think Dallas will give it a shake, though. Between Kyrie and Luka and co, they should at least win a couple. I'm going to go Wolves in six. Wolves in six! Wolves in six! Because I think Dallas will probably get a couple of Kyrie-Luka games where you're like, that's just poor. Off they go, and the Wolves just don't have the answers down the stretch, perhaps. But then there'll be like enough games where Ant-Man just goes absolutely fucking ham, and Dallas are just like, oh shit. So Lively and Gafford have to cover out like one of, like, you know, Cat or so out on the perimeter. PJ Hamilton, Washington's up against Cat or something like that, right? So you got Lively or Gafford in the middle up against Rudy Gobert. Cat's out there on the perimeter going, cool, PJ Hamilton, Washington. I'm like 4 foot taller than him. So I think I like the Wolves overall. That's crazy that the Wolves are... I'm tipping the Wolves to make the finals. But I feel like that'd give us the best finals, right? Boston, Minnesota would be fucking great fun. Even if Dallas would be pretty great too. But either way, Wolves 4-2. They are currently 4.5-point favorites at home for game one, are the Wolves. I'm tempted to take Dallas +4.5 for game one. where they play the Wolves right down the line. Maybe eventually lose that one, but there you go. So, I think that means I'm tipping a Boston-Minnesota finals. 4-1 Boston over Indy, 4-2 Wolves over Dallas. What do you reckon? Sound off. Let me know. Send in your tips. We'll take out, we've got, you know, 2 days before this all starts. So send them through. Hit us up on the DMs and the old socials. And we'll sort of put together a bit of a running tally what people reckon and talk it out on Wednesday's show. All right. And there you go. That's it for today. We won't be back on deck tomorrow because, as I said, got a work thing all day. Thank God we don't have game 7 of OKC Dallas. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face the IG. We're all over the socials. We still did a walking playoff pick. I actually picked Denver, and that did not work. So, yeah, shit house. Anyway, get around all the socials there, of course, for the AFL Today show as well, the one that I host, which is really, really fun and really, really good. Talking up Essendon at the moment, pretty fun. Good on you, Jim. What else? You can check that out on YouTube. You can check this out on YouTube. It's always going up on YouTube too. But get around those shows as well as the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast. How good is the end of the EPL season? Very nice. NFL Australia as well, myself and Gaz. Hold all tickets if you're into your GGs. Check us a rating review on your Apple Podcast, Spotify, YouTube. Look, subscribe, comment, like, share, whatever you can do. We're at the pointy end of the NBA season. If you can help out any way you can, that'd be really fucking appreciated. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch. Get a hoodie like this one. It's pretty bloody good. And a big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, They Rule. Go check out House Hats, Joshua De La Renta's Fascinated Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right. That'll do us. No deli review because I've got to run. I've got to get into the office. All right, but we will catch you on Wednesday, dickheads, for game one of Boston versus the Pacers. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And lederhosen!
Supercharged Zinger Burger.